Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning. As you can tell, the bishop hasn't got older and balder. Unfortunately, he woke up this morning feeling quite sick. His wife has been sick this week with the flu, and he's not sure if he's coming down with the flu or with COVID. So he rang me texted me a quarter to six and said he wasn't coming. So there had to be a big flurry around the office to get an old sermon out. And so you're getting a secondhand message this morning. And Glenda had to buzz around trying to find a kid's talk. But anyway, by the grace of God, we've made it. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you to thank you for your call to us today to worship you. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed richly bless us as we gather today. We pray, Lord, for our bishop. We ask you, Lord, to bless him and his wife and family, heal their sickness, protect them from further sickness. Lord, bless us all this day in your name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's stand for our time of worship to begin with.
Thank you. I've got some stuff here this morning. I thought they are. I thought I would try and see how much rice. Now, don't worry, I'm going to throw this rice out afterwards. How much rice I could fit in this container. How much do you reckon I can fit in? Fill it right up. I still have to be able to put the lid on. Bit more? Bit more? It won't go to the sky? Okay. I might need my rock climbing harness to put on. Hey, Gemma. Get it go all the way up to the top. All right, here we go, here we go. You reckon I can still put the lid on that? Let's try. Well, it's look, nearly half a packet of rice. Look at that. Put that lid on. Ooh. I got my container full of rice. It's all right. Do you think there's some way that I could fit more rice into there? No? Think about it. How could I fit more? Too tiny? Grind it up, maybe? I haven't got a grinder here, so for today, how could I fit more rice in there? Take the balls out. Okay. Gemma, would you like to come up here? Would you like to tip all of that? You can just tip it all out. Tip it all out. Tip it in. Oh, good work. Look at that. Look at that. Yep. Okay. So we're going to start again, and we're going to see if we can put more rice in the container. Mia, would you like to come and get the balls out of here for me? You get the balls out. Put them up on the table for me. Okay. One. Good work. Another one. Two, good work. We'll pop that one up here too. Three, another one. Oh, look at you. Okay, so now, Indy, I need you now. You can come up here. Put the rice in there and see if we can fit a bit more in than we could before. Don't worry, I'll vacuum it up if I make a mess. All right, look at that. Do you reckon we can put more rice in there now the balls are gone? Okay. Oh, we can. Put more rice in. But I also need to be able to put the balls in there to put the lid on. Will that work? You try and put those balls in for me. They're too round. Can't do it. Can't do it. Now I'm going to ask a really, really important question. Do we really need all that rice in there anyway? No, all right. You did it. Good work, Mia. That's fantastic. So let's just try this another way. I'm going to tip all the rice out again. And I'm going to say that the rice is all the things that we do in our day. So we do lots and lots and lots and lots of little things in our day, don't we? And these, we have to try and find room in our life as well for God, because he's really important. So if we've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so we've got God the Father, we've got Jesus, and we've got the Holy Spirit, now we need to put those in first to put the rice in, don't we? Okay. And sometimes life gets really busy and we forget that we actually need to have those three in there first. And maybe these are the things that weren't so important in our day. Do you reckon that's right? Do you get that, Indy? You understand there? So if we put God in our life first, and then we fit all the other bits and pieces around it, sometimes the unimportant bits have to stay out. Now, there's a story in the Bible. There were two ladies in the Bible, and their names were Mary and Martha. And Jesus came to visit them, and when he came to visit them, Martha was doing some really good things. Do you know what she was doing, Gemma? She was making dinner, and she was cleaning the house, and she was doing all those things that are really important, but she forgot to make time to go and sit with Jesus and listen to what he was doing. But her sister Mary went and sat with Jesus, and Martha got all cranky because she didn't come and help with the dishes. They could have waited, and she could have gone and listened to Jesus too. So in how can, Indy, how can you make time in your day for the God things? That's the really hard question. That's right. So it's about making time at dinner time to say grace, at bedtime to say prayers, times through the day to think about what it means to have Jesus in your life, time to listen to the Bible stories, and time to talk to other people about God. Hey? Really? Okay, good. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for all the things that you give us to do in our day. A lot of them are really important, but help us to remember that we have to have time for you in our day first, and then everything else will fit in around it. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Let's stand for the greeting of peace, and then you can head off to Kids Club. So the Lord be with you. We are the body of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share the peace with each other. Wonderful. Okay, so the kids are going to go out to Kids Club, and if the bishop was here, rules were he wanted to say the collect for the day, but since he's not here, let's say it together. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ and make yourself our guest amid the cares of our daily lives. Make us attentive to your voice and alert to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We're just going to hear the gospel reading.
The gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. On page 1028 in the Bible. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, since the story of Mary and Martha is a lot about serving, I've chosen this sermon from Matthew 20, 20 to 28 that I have entitled True Greatness. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." But when the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." Let's pray. Gracious Lord, as we come before you this morning to learn more about what it means to be a servant, so guide us by your Spirit and empower us by your Spirit to descend into true greatness. In your name and to your glory we pray. Amen. What do you call a hen crossing the road? Poultry in motion. What do you call a boomerang that doesn't work? A stick. What do you call cheese that isn't yours? Nacho cheese. What do you call a man who falls into an upholstery machine? Fully recovered. And what do you call a Christian who isn't serving? A contradiction. In verse 28 of our text, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man," that's himself, "came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This was Jesus' personal mission statement. And if we're followers of Christ, what marked his life should also mark ours. Our personal mission statements also ought to be serving and giving. The opposite of that is to be served and to receive. And we can live our lives with a great passion to be served and to receive, or we can live with a passion to give and to serve. Hold your hands out in front of you for a moment. Make a fist with one hand and leave the other open. Now, this is a choice that we have as Christians. Are we going to live our lives with a clenched fist, expecting others to serve us? Or are we going to live our lives with an open hand, giving and serving? Today's theme is true greatness. And if we believe there is true greatness, there must also be false greatness. What is false greatness? False greatness is all about the number of people who serve you. True greatness is about the number of people whom you serve. False greatness is about power, control, fame, wealth and authority. True greatness is about humility, caring, sharing, giving, and servanthood. Jesus tells his disciples of the true greatness that is coming his way just before the words of our text. Matthew writes in chapter 20, verses 17 to 19, "As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. 'Listen,' he said, 'we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and teachers of the religious law. They will sentence him to die, and then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead.'" These words of Jesus and the words of our text are probably spoken about a week or so before the Palm Sunday event, which means we're looking at a time period of about 2 weeks before Easter, Jesus' death and resurrection. So things were very close. And the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons, and she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" Jesus asked. And she replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." Now, I don't know about you, but I reckon that James and John put their mother up to it. And the reason why I think this is, as Matthew writes, but Jesus answered them by saying to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Their mother's request sets the scene for a clash between what Jesus had been trying to say to his disciples about the nature of his journey to Jerusalem and what the disciples thought it was really all about. They were convinced that Jesus must have been following some kind of plan that he had in mind, that they simply can't register his repeated warnings that it is going to be very different and very difficult. He's talking about a horrible death, and they seem to think it's just picture language for a great victory that he's going to win. Because of this misunderstanding, these two young politicians try and get in on first base. They ask themselves for themselves the top two spots in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that Jesus will rule. They make their early allegiances. So if they have guessed right about Jesus, they will be rewarded for their early allegiances. In the world of false greatness, people play games like that all of the time. It produces cheap loyalty. That's not worth a brass razzou. It produces hollow friendships that don't go any deeper than the outward smiles and the easy betrayals when things go wrong. And when the other disciples hear about what James and John, not their mother, had asked, they were indignant. And this word indignant means to be greatly afflicted. They were really mad that these two had manipulated their mother, a relative of Jesus, to get special treatment from Jesus, and they weren't going to give up the two top spots without a fight. They weren't appalled at the brothers' lack of understanding about Jesus and his kingdom. Instead, they were jealous that these two got to Jesus first. And in the world, there are two things that prevent us from reaching true greatness. Firstly, selfishness, and secondly, misunderstanding. At best, the only greatness that can be ever reached by selfishness and misunderstanding is false greatness. We see this selfishness displayed by James and John in their manipulation of their mother and the request that she made of Jesus on their behalf. We see this selfishness in the disciples when they get angry and jealous with James and John for trying to get the two top spots in Jesus' kingdom. The spiritual attitude of the 10 was no better than the spiritual attitude of the two. And have you ever noticed how easy it is to be angry at the sin that we see in others while we indulge in the same one ourselves? Why is it that we condemn in others what we excuse in our own lives? Here we see that selfishness always results in dissension. When we think only of ourselves, community breaks down and unity is replaced with division and backbiting. Misunderstanding was displayed by James and John when Jesus asked them, are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? To which they replied, yes, we are able. And Jesus said, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared the place for the ones he has chosen. James and John were willing to suffer, but they assumed that their suffering would bring them into earthly power and glory. James and John thought that Jesus was going to soon establish an earthly political kingdom, and one of them would be prime minister, the other would be governor general. But no, Jesus foretold that James and John would drink the cup of suffering. And we read in the book of Acts that King Herod Agrippa had James put to death by the sword. And in the first chapter of Revelation, we read that John suffered persecution and was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. But the two brothers and their mothers weren't the only ones to misunderstand. So did the other 10 disciples. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave." You see, true greatness is not about money and possessions. True greatness is not about power and control, fame and prestige. True greatness is not about being served. True greatness is about serving. It's by serving that we achieve true greatness. The kingdom of God is a completely different kingdom from the kingdom of this world. Jesus said, "But among you it will be different from the world. Whoever wants to be leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must become your slave." A servant, the original Greek word diakonos, was hired to maintain a person's home and property. A servant, in Greek, the word doulos, was hired to maintain, forced into service in a person's home. These were the two lowest positions in society. And yet Jesus said that to be leader and to be first in the kingdom of God meant that you would be a servant and a slave. The world's thinking is that you rise to greatness. Jesus' thinking is that you descend into greatness. So to be truly great is to be a true servant, a true follower of Jesus, who came not to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. A ransom is the price of release, the money paid for the release of a slave. And the ultimate example of a ransom paid was Jesus giving his life up for us upon the cross. We often hear the expression, "no pain, no gain." We understand by that we must make a sacrifice in the present in order to make a personal gain in the future. But Jesus has a different saying. He says, "My pain, others' gain." And this is the kind of life we're called to live as Christians. We are called to give of ourselves. We're called to make of our time, resources, energy available for others. And when they are bound down by problems, whether they be material, emotional, spiritual, or whatever, they are bound down. And so they need to be released. They need us as Jesus' servants to bring his ransom to bear in their lives. Have you ever heard of a basin attitude? In the Bible, there are two basin attitudes. The first one is Matthew 27:24. When Pilate saw he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. He said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility." Pilate's basin attitude was to see a need and to do what's best for me. Pilate washed his hands of the need before him in Jesus. So it can be with us that we can wash our hands and leave the needs of others to go begging. Then there's Jesus' basin attitude in John 13:4-5. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus saw a need and did what was best for others. It didn't matter who he was as the Son of God. He bowed down and washed his disciples' feet. Today, we're reminded of the central role that servanthood plays in the life of the follower of Christ. We might be great prayers, we might be great preachers, we might be great tithers, we might be great worshippers, but if we're not great servants, we've missed out on what true greatness is all about in the kingdom of God. So when the opportunity to serve comes, let's not be like Pilate, but be like Jesus. Most of all, let's give somebody else a break. Do you know somebody else? Let me tell you about him. There's a clever young guy named somebody else. There's nothing this guy cannot do. He's busy from morning till way late at night, just substituting for you. You're asked to do this and you're asked to do that. And what is your reply? Get somebody else to do that job. He'll do it much better than I. So much to do in this weary old world. So much and workers so few. And somebody else, all weary and worn, is still substituting for you. Amen. So, Lord, indeed, let us have your basin attitude. And let us indeed, O Lord, descend into true greatness by the power of your Spirit and your leading and guiding to serve those whom you call across our path. Lord Jesus, help us to be more like you. In your name and to your glory we pray. Amen. Let's stand for our statement of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. Means he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. And we just pray now for the bishop, and we ask for your healing hands upon him and his family as they get through this difficult time. We pray that it isn't COVID and that he's just got the flu and that it'll go away very quickly. It's not fun. We all know those of us who've had it. Lord God, we pray for those who are still suffering, and we pray for healing. We pray that you will be with them, give them strength, fill their lungs with good health and help them to get through their time of coughing, sneezing and feeling unwell. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for this world. We pray for the craziness that we see around the world. We pray for war that we don't want to see. We ask for your blessing and your peace upon those nations, particularly, Lord, in the Ukraine and Russia. And we ask that you will just be with the people and help them to find peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the sun that shines upon us. We thank you for the blessing that we have where we live in this amazing place. We thank you for HTK, and the wonderful people that come to this church and serve you, Lord. And we pray that you will give us all a serving nature. As we have just heard, it is so good to follow your way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, as we pray today, we ask for your blessing on those who've lost loved ones recently, Lord. And we pray, will you be with those who are mourning? And we ask for your blessing on all who think of those who've gone before us. Maybe they be up there with you, looking down upon us all and watching over us and smiling as we think of them, helping us to remember the wonderful people that they were and the joy that they gave us in our lives. But Lord, that you help us all to think and pray for each person who's gone without, who's lost a loved one. In Jesus' name, we ask that you, sorry. We ask that you be with those who've gone without. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, we ask that you help us to pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. On earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Say together the grace to farewell our online viewers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And we sing the song Amazing Grace.